My name's Hudson. I'm really glad to be here today. we've taught a lot of these classes over the years, and we kind of use this format. I'm going to say this several times, but when we initially looked at this format and how to put these type of programs together, one of the basic tenets that we really thought was important was that we didn't know and we couldn't tell you how to come out and do things on your place. You know, if it was a beef place, you know, we can't come out and tell you how to raise cattle. If it was a sheep place, we can't tell you. In this case, you know, we don't necessarily want to come here and tell you, you know, Matt, here's the way you need to raise hay on your place. But what we really thought we could do was really put some tools together and some steps to help you make decisions. Today, I'm talking about establishing hay and fertilizing hay, and I really went at it at this angle to really, these are the things that you think about. These are the steps that you take to make decisions on your place. Might be a little bit frustrated because I don't give you quite enough numbers in this. If you're a real economics guy, and you know, there's several economists in the room, and at some point today I'll surely make fun of them about spreadsheets and how boring they are, I'm sure. But yeah, we can talk about those numbers all we want, but I'm really going to talk about the steps to making decisions, and hopefully that'll be good. I've been really busy the last couple of weeks, and I didn't notice how the schedule was put together today, but you'll notice that it's right before lunch. Normally, I'm the guy that gets accused of making us late and going too long, but they knew that I'd get us out on time to get to lunch today. So if not, they'll give me heck about it. So really, when we look at it today, we're going to try to answer a couple of questions. When does it make financial sense, and how do you establish or reestablish an alfalfa field? And when does it make sense to fertilize? And the answer today is really going to be right here. We're really talking about dollars. We're really talking about money. So the steps that we'll look through is when and how do you establish new hay? I'm going to show you this slide and the next slide twice today because I think it's important to think about. If you look at from 1999, the year 1999 to 2000 to 2012-13, look at what baled alfalfa hay prices have done in the United States. And I mean, this isn't going to be new to anybody in the room, but we went from, you know, somewhere around $80 to somewhere around $210. Now that's pretty significant, right? I'm an old high school teacher, so I got to have feedback before I can go on. But yeah, this is pretty significant. So when you look at this next slide, look at Wyoming. You know, on-farm stocks of alfalfa hay. They can go clear back to 1988, but look what we've done pretty recently here. We've got an all-time low, and this number has actually come down recently, but this number has probably continued to fall in Wyoming. We've got an all-time low of hay in Wyoming with an all-time high of price. So the things we're talking today, I think they're pretty important for producers. If you have a hay field and those kind of things, I mean, and I'm going to bring those slides up again just because when you're making your decisions, these are the kind of things that really start helping you make decisions. So the first step that I want to talk about today in establishing hay is a rotation schedule. One of the things that especially when we do programs like this with lots of instructors and stuff, I think one of the most valuable things you can learn in a class, a program, is from your other producers. And so one of the things that I'm going to talk about is, or to encourage you to do, is look at what your neighbors are doing. Look at how often they do it and ask them why. You know, I'm from Lincoln County. And it's a little intimidating coming across the state and going to other places and talking about especially producing hay because, you know, my house is at 7,000 feet. You know, we do things a little different at 7,000 feet than in other places with insects, with irrigation. But you know, some of the rotation schedules that are available to other places, less than 5,500 feet, just aren't available for us. So, but the rotation schedule is really important. You know, as I sat back and thought about this last couple of weeks, you know, we have a farmer that I think is as good a farm as you'll find anywhere there in Lincoln County. They have several thousand acres of hay under pivot right now. They get a premium price for that hay every year. They raise some really serious dairy hay, and they're pretty close to that Idaho dairy market. And so when I think about his rotation schedule, they have a very tight rotation schedule. They've got it planned out for the next 20 years. You know, you can be out on his place BSing with him about something, and he can tell you when this pivot's going to be plowed up and replanted and put to a cover crop, and he can tell you that. I have a neighbor who has a much smaller place, somewhere around 5 acres, and he remembers when his dad planted that field to alfalfa when he was a boy, and they're still cutting that alfalfa for hay. And so, you know, there's a wide range of what might work for your rotation schedule, right? And it's really up to you what makes sense for you. And it really needs to be quite flexible, I think. So, you know, there might be a year when you have a death in the family, or something happens and you might throw this rotation schedule off for a year. I remember as a boy that happening on our place. Dad had to have a couple of surgeries, and boy, it didn't take very long for the fences to get to where they needed some upkeep and some things that needed to happen. So this establishment's really an interesting thing. That rotation is really something you'll need to decide. The second thing is, what variety do you select? Just several weeks ago, I was sitting in a program, and there was a seed salesman presenting, you know, seeds. These are the varieties you should be using. And this right here might be the most intimidating question I get in my office. What alfalfa should I be planting? Well, you know, let's go back to my neighbor that has 5 acres. What kind of alfalfa does he have? It's the old Ranger, right? He has the old Ranger because there's still alfalfa there. You know, and so I'll go down to my, and he's a friend, but the big farmers, you know, what varieties are there? Well, over in this field, it's 4062, and over in this field, you know, there's a new variety coming out, Ranger 2's coming out. So I'm really excited for Anwar to be here this afternoon. I'm really excited to set through Anwar's presentation. I haven't set through it before, because this stuff is really, it moves all the time. But really, for your situation, you know, your soil type, where you're at, your altitude, you really need to be making those decisions. You know, at 7,000 feet, I have people come in and say, what variety should I use? Well, how much research is there on alfalfa at 7,000 feet? None. I mean, there's zero. All of it's done somewhere around 5,500 feet. So it'll be nice to have Anwar here, but there's a lot of difference in variety, and I may be stretching it when I say maybe the most important decision for long-term profit, but it's a really important decision for long-term profit. There's some new varieties coming out that I'm quite excited about. I'm interested in talking to Anwar about them today, but this variety is really an important decision for you when you look at putting in a new stand of hay. The time of the year, I told you that, you know, where I'm from, we plant alfalfa in the spring. We use a certain cover crop with it, and we just don't have a lot of options outside of that. There's some other options. There's some fall planting options. But what really works for you? And even more than that, what works for your operation? You know, we have quite a bit of alfalfa hay in our county, and it's all planted underneath oats, all of it. Everything is planted with the companion crop of oat hay. Well, I think there's some better options than oat hay to use. You know, there's some beardless varieties. There's some interesting things to do. We have quite a problem with nitrate poisoning in our county. And so I think there's some different things you can really start looking at when you start establishing your hay. But when you do it and how you do it, again, there's a whole bunch of options. Look at what your neighbor's doing. What's worked for you in the past? Those are kind of the questions that that you need to ask yourself. And that kind of goes against the, that kind of goes against what we're usually talking about. We're usually jumping up and down saying, hey, we've got some new options. We've got some, but when you start looking at when hay will establish, look at what works. Maybe try something new, and like Scott was talking about with the insects, really evaluate how it works for you. So what does work? Is everybody from Natrona County that's here? Oh, I don't care where you're from. What works for you? When do you plant hay? When's the best time to plant hay? How do you get it to germinate? Any takers on that? Do we all spring plant our alfalfa here? Anybody not spring plant? Anybody tried it in the fall? Go ahead.
Spring planting here pretty soon as far as wheat and alfalfa.
You're going to plant alfalfa with a companion crop of wheat?
Well, we're going to have about 4 acres, or about 5 acres of wheat, and then probably about 8 or 9 acres of alfalfa with oats.
Do you know what variety you're using? Anwar will help you out this afternoon because that's an interesting thing. But yeah, a lot of people say, well, it's not rocket science. They're just farming, right? They're just putting seed in the ground and hoping that it happens. But there's a lot of stuff that can really bring you a lot of success if you think about it. So the fourth thing is preparation. We're going to talk about a couple things, but here are the things you need to be thinking about. What seed am I using and how does it work? What equipment am I going to use? What is my seed bed now and what is it going to need to look like? Pray for rain, I don't know, but we need to make sure that we have a good plan to make sure that we get ample enough water there at the right time. And so I've gone through all those slides now and I haven't answered the question that I told you I was going to answer, right? Really look at the dollars and cents. I said, when does it make financial sense to establish or reestablish alfalfa? And so if we look at the model that Bridger started us out with today, if you're looking at alfalfa hay, if you're looking at a field that you need to do something with, you want more, better production or anything, what questions do you ask yourself to get to this point? Should we establish or reestablish hay? What questions do we ask ourselves? Go ahead, Scott. Okay, production, right? Okay. Thinking about Bridger's model, I'm going to give you a list of things that I think should be considerations. What does establishment cost? You know, we're certainly going to need to look at what Scott was talking about. You know, what is my production and what can my production be? But what is establishment going to cost you? And so I think these are the things you need to think about. What's it going to cost you to disc or plow up a field? What's it going to cost to cultivate that field and get it ready to plant? What's it going to cost for a seeder? Well, somebody should have spell checked that. Packer. What's it going to cost you to spray and do some weed control? I'll tell you that some of the people where I'm from do not replace alfalfa hay until they get to where they have to control quackgrass. Oh, I've got so much quackgrass, I've got to do something. And then that's how they decide when they're going to reestablish a field. Is that a good plan or a bad one? It's their plan, so it's fine for them. But weed control this is a perfect time to really think about weed control and what's it going to cost you. We have a lot of quackgrass in our country and a lot of guys will actually run 2 years where they're planting a small grain so that they can spray that field twice with Roundup or multiple years with Roundup to really take care of the quackgrass. What's the seed going to cost you? And then what's it going to cost for herbicide, pesticide, and fertilizer? So These are the things, when we think about Bridger's model, these are the things you should be considering on what it's going to cost. So what's our income going to be? Scott? But where's our income going to come from? Production. We're going to reestablish that field because our production's dropped off and a new stand of hay is going to produce more hay for us, right? What are our costs going to be? This is a pretty good list to start from. So I told you that you're going to get frustrated with me not providing enough numbers for you. And I actually can provide some numbers. I have several crop budgets to look at. But as a group, let's go through these. Let me grab my... I meant to bring that up with me. As a group, let's throw some swags out there. So if we look at per acre costs, what does it cost per acre to plow up a field, to disc up a field? There's no right or wrong answers. All right, okay, Matt, I'll pick on you. You're ready. We'll take a swag. Per acre, what do you think it costs, Caleb? So this is why I told you you'd be frustrated, because these are the numbers you need to know, right? So, and there's a reason that I didn't provide them for you. So what would that reason be? There are so many variables that I feel like I don't want to be the person setting costs. And so I want these numbers to be kind of round, so I thought I'd do it this way. We'll see how I feel about it tonight, whether it was successful or not. I have a crop budget. It's out of Nebraska. I kind of liked it. There's lots of ones to look at. John has a nice work, worksheet, work table, that you can kind of go through and add some of your, put your own information in. It'll kind of help you. It'll calculate the cost from your stuff. What do you call it? I know you are, but I'm giving you a punch, pitch here. John has a good one that you can use. So somebody's got to throw a number out there. Per acre, what does it cost? $18. We comfortable with that? That's a little higher than Nebraska's number. I like it. We'll leave it at 18. Okay, heavier soil. Gas is cheaper in Wyoming. Fuel's cheaper in Wyoming. So if we look at cultivation, what's it costing? Half that, yep. What is it costing to get your seeder out there, your packer out, and get your field planted? Is it more or less than plowing? Nebraska has it more. They've got that at $22. No, that is not including cost of the seed. To get out and spray a field, they've got it sprayed twice, probably herbicide and something else is a lot cheaper, somewhere around $4 an acre. Say now, there's people writing this down. It makes me uncomfortable that you're writing that down because later John's going to really talk to you about how you make the decisions on your place. So what does alfalfa seed cost per acre? What? There's a lot of variable in seed now. You know, you go to the Roundup Ready seed and it's going to cost you lots. This is not Roundup Ready seed. They're looking at, I'll give you that. They're looking at 12 pounds an acre. At a total applied cost of $60. So, and that's not extra expensive seed. You go to Roundup Ready and it's going to be twice that, maybe twice and a half that.
You're going to 12 pounds an acre.
That's what they did. So, what are you comfortable with?
Well, guys, I've been talking to, I mean, they were talking 25 pounds, but they're going 12 one way and 13 the other way.
Did it irrigate it or
So.
With a cover crop or without?
Well, what they're doing is they're going oats, they're planting oats in it. They're gonna go in, knock down, and then they're gonna go right in with a no-till and go 12 one way and 13 the other way. Don't even plant alfalfa in it until you get your roots. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting to me how they did that, you know, because now we're looking at some native ground that we're tearing up that we're putting, going right on, you know, and going to oats and then, because the ground's gotta be, you want it packed for that alfalfa.
You want a firm seed bed, yeah.
And that irrigating it and going over the oats and then coming back into it, but putting it in a quarter of an inch and, you know. And
well, see, this is a really good example of what I was talking about. This is a really individual case, and you're going to have to make some tough decisions. Just a couple weeks ago, I saw some interesting work out of Idaho, and they were really trying to study this Roundup Ready seed, and because it was so expensive, they had really looked at how much better is it at a 25 kind of pound ratio to an 18 pound, and it was really interesting that they were seeing no difference in production.
I read a thing from University of Nebraska, Lincoln said the exact same thing. They said the amount more you put poundage you put in there doesn't increase your yield at all.
And I think you're...
And just what they're saying, going that much, is actually knocking out some of the weeds.
Yeah.
That could be, because you're going to have more plants.
Right.
But less plumage.
Right.
So, and I think this is so individual on the variety you're going to use, on your soil type, especially your soil type, and what it's really dependent on is, do you get a perfect year for germination, or do you get a half perfect year, or do you get a horrible year? So yeah, these are questions that there's no way I'd come out to your place and say, you need to be using 22 pounds per acre. That's what you need to be. What I'd say is, well, somewhere between 18 and 25.
I mean, you're hitting an average with who's wanting to sell to you, how much they're wanting to stick up to you.
So I mentioned I'm going to do what these guys always cuss me about. You just went off on tangents and talked about stuff. But one of the things I love to do is go out and visit with people on their places. And so I talked about these farmers that I think are great farmers. And I've asked them that question. When you have these salesmen come out, how do you decide on fertilizer? How do you decide on seed? And they'll say, we just divide by two. If a salesman out of our place and tells us to use 100 pounds of fertilizer, we're going to use 50, you know. So anyway, that's a great point. So where did I end up? Did anybody else have any questions or something to say about that? Go ahead, John.
You mentioned that is a pretty wide variability in varieties is the persistence factor.
Yep.
We did a bulletin several years back that actually looked at that. Of course, there are different varieties today, more coming on all the time, but that could be an argument for seeding at a higher rate, is to make sure you actually get a stand of a certain viability, right?
Yep.
Yeah, death loss.
And I specifically haven't done that because I'm excited to hear what Anwar has to say. So I didn't talk about varieties at all. I took several slides out. So the last thing is, you know, what does it cost to apply herbicide, pesticide, those kind of things. So if we looked at putting down, let's say Lorspan at 20%, what does that cost per acre? Somewhere around $7. So those are kind of the numbers, and I want you to realize they're really round numbers. John's going to give you a good presentation this afternoon on how you kind of figure out those numbers. But those are the numbers that you should really be looking at on when my production in my field gets to a point that I'm not happy with, and I'm going to start looking at reestablishing, or if I have a tight, these are the things that you need to be looking at costs. Remembering that, you know, when we start thinking about income, where's our income going to come from? Production. When we reestablish a field of alfalfa, we're going to get more production. But realize that establishment year, we're going to be minus production, right? That first year, we're not going to raise as much hay. And maybe even that second year. But in the years to come after that, we're going to be plus production. Any questions about that? Any questions about establishment or something that we didn't talk about that you wanted to as a group? Or all right, I'm going to move along to fertilizing. I told you that I hate the question of people coming into my office and saying, what variety of hay should I use? My second least favorite is when people come in and say, how much fertilizer should I put on my yard or my garden, you know? Because, you know, it's a really hard question to answer if you don't have all the information. But fertilizing is really interesting, and this is why I promised you I'd show you these slides twice. You know, when we start looking at $210, $220 alfalfa, getting production out of a field becomes pretty important, doesn't it? A half ton of hay per acre, that kind of amount of production is pretty important, and could be really something that moves your operation to something that you're doing and to something that you could really make money at if you really look at it on this kind of a level. Spent some time with you'll remember this guy, Don, but the one of the largest hay exporters in America. He spent some time in Wyoming here a year or so back. Wanted to drive around and wanted to look at our alfalfa. How much alfalfa does Wyoming have to produce, you know? How much is here to buy? They were looking for more markets. And when I visited with him, it was interesting because, you know, there's not a whole bunch of extra ground that we can put alfalfa in, right? We kind of have it where we... So production per acre is the next frontier there, especially from Wyoming, when you look at the numbers. And, you know, there's not a lot of hay in Wyoming right now. So that extra production could be really important to us when we start looking at dollars and cents. So the one thing I want to do is make sure, I'm going to use some slides here from our CEREC research station over outside of Torrington. The numbers were put together from Brian Lee. He's a researcher over there, a nice fellow. He actually presented this yesterday in Worland at Westy Ag Days. And so the numbers that I'm using come from him. He's a sharp guy, so those economic numbers from him are better than the ones that would come from me, so I'm using his numbers. I want to make sure I gave him on that. So what we'll do is we'll talk about how to make decisions when we're fertilizing fields. So I told you I hate that question, right? When people come to my office and say, how much fertilizer should I put on my garden? How much fertilizer should I put on my field? But I love that question if I have one thing, a soil sample. You know, you give me a soil sample and I love answering that question. Well, let's look about it. Let's look at it, you know. Let's look at where, you know, and there's all kinds of calculators, there's all kinds of stuff. So, you know, 15 years ago, it was pretty standard practice, especially where I was, to do certain things. We put 150 pounds of nitrogen on a pasture, right? That's what we put on. Well, how much did nitrogen cost 15 years ago? About a tenth of what it costs now, right? So we really don't have the luxury of doing those kind of things anymore. What does a soil sample cost? Bridger. It's, yeah, $20. Let's say it costs $20. If you're doing a lot of them or doing them through a crop specialist, it's a little cheaper. But for $20, we can make decisions on something that may be costing us hundreds of dollars an acre. Pretty good investment, right? A soil sample is a pretty good investment. And it will really help you make decisions. So the next thing, what is my stand quality? So for my neighbor who has alfalfa hay in his field with a whole bunch of quack grass, you know, he really needs to think about, is this field got enough quality that I'm going to spend hundreds of dollars an acre to put on some fertilizer? And then the yearly situation, you know, fertilizer is great if it's your silver bullet, but if it's not your silver bullet, you know, do we put a whole bunch of fertilizer on if we're not going to get water that year? Some of you guys that are downstream from Pathfinder, you know, you may know early in the year that we're just not going to get as much water as we usually get. We're not going to be able to irrigate more than once. You really might make a decision like that based on information that you have. And then what kind of yield expectations do you have on any given year or from that field every given year? So, so if we look at it, how much nutrients does alfalfa need? So if we look at it, for every ton of hay that comes off an acre, we need 56 pounds of nitrogen. If we look at phosphorus, for every ton that comes off an acre, we need 12 to 15 pounds of phosphorus. Phosphorus is more available in certain situations depending on pH and how much nitrogen is there and stuff, but it's somewhere between 12 and 15 pounds per acre. And then if we look at potassium, you know, it's somewhere between 55 and 70 pounds per acre. So these are the numbers we're looking at. And so, you know, if we go over here, to Walmart over here, and go walk up and down the aisles and just visit with people and say, hey, how many pounds of phosphorus do you have per 100 square feet in your yard? How many people are going to be able to answer that? Let's say zero, right? Scott, zero? But it's not just because they don't know. It's because that information, you can't look at it. You know, you can't look at soil and say, oh, I need 12, but there's only 9 pounds of phosphorus there. So back to our soil sample. Your soil sample will tell you how much of this is there in your soil. So if we go through that, these are the numbers that I was talking about, came from Brian. So what will phosphorus cost? And he just updated these. So we've actually got 2014 numbers for Worland, Wyoming. If we put on 165 pounds of phosphorus, it's going to cost us $102. If we put on 100 pounds per acre, it's going to cost us $64. And that's the numbers that they're looking at for this year's prices. It's nice. Wyoming's price is a little bit less than the national price. And you'll see that it actually came down, it actually did come down from last year, but it's less than the average national price. So if we take that number and look at yield of return, okay, so I'm going to go back one slide. It costs us $102 to put that phosphorus on, or $64 at 100 pounds. So how much hay do you have to get to pay for that? Because that's really the question, right? The question is, how much fertilizer do I need? But the next question better be, well, how much hay do I have to produce to pay for that fertilizer, right? So if we look at that, we're still at 2014 numbers in Worland, Wyoming. At 165 pounds, we have to produce a half ton, 0.57 tons, right? Now that's a good number to know. And so if we go back to my original thought, and I'm going to do it actually. If we go back, do you have a stand of hay that has enough quality to produce 0.57 tons of hay if we put the phosphorus on? You know, are you going to have the water to throw at that? Does that even fit within your yield expectations? You know, I already complained that I live in a place where we have a small window to grow things, and we don't have a lot of frost-free days, and boy, a half a ton is a lot of range when 2.5 is really all you're expecting, right? You just don't get a lot more than 2.5 tons per acre. So yeah, when we look at that, that's what we need at 165 pounds. If we put on 100 pounds per acre, we need 0.36 tons. So when I told you about my friend who says, oh, anytime a salesman comes on the place, I divide by two, I think that's really looking at taking that into perspective, right? But yeah, that's what we need. At 50 pounds, it's 0.19 tons per acre. That's 2014 numbers. Those are really good, solid numbers to look at when you start making decisions. The one thing he did that's different this year is he's already looking at cheaper hay that's not worth as much. That could change rapidly, right? If we don't get some water in the right places at the right time this spring. But calculations for hay are less than what they were last year. Any questions on that before I move forward?
Is there any studies done on the economic loss if you don't put that on there?
The loss of what?
The revenue. How much reduction in production do you get by not putting it on there? Would it be the same 0.36 or 0.57 ton you would lose?
Well,
in other words, if I decide not to do it, don't do my soil test, don't put that on there. How's it going to affect my?
You've asked a really interesting question. This doesn't take it from any baseline. So it's not saying if you're producing 2 tons of hay, you need 0.57 more. It's just saying you need 0.57 more than where you're at. So the economic analysis in it is only what are you producing more than 0.57 tons. And if you get to the right place, I mean, producing an extra ton of hay when you're phosphorus deficient isn't expecting too much. I mean, if you're, you know, if you're really missing these numbers by a long ways, you can get, so the economic analysis is all positive. It's not really a negative thing. So go ahead, Bridger.
I was going to say, I think to get at this question a little more too, I think what you're asking is over time, if you don't do this, are your yields going to be below that?
Right.
Reduced below average, and the answer is probably.
How much is that going to affect my yield at $180 a ton?
Yeah, it's probably yes, that, you know, but that's on a year-to-year decision, maybe not. It's not going to, your yields would reduce below that average, but if you go over a long period of time and never fertilize and never add phosphorus, then your yield is going to be below average, and so you would have to figure that in as a cost.
Yeah. And on top of that, then your stand is not going to persist as long, right?
It's not going to be healthy.
If you continue to cut at the same frequency, your stand will go out, right, under that kind of pressure. And you'll increase your weeds or, in Hudson's case, quackgrass.
Which is a weed. Right? That's right. A weed.
It is. In one alfalfa, it's a weed. So what you end up needing to do if you don't actually maintain the health of the plant is needing to increase the frequency with which you establish a new stand, right? So it's actually way more expensive than just adding the fertilizer every year.
Yeah, and that's why doing the math on this is simple. I mean, figuring out how much ton it's going to take at X price to pay for that process. The question I would have would be is, how much are you going to lose if you don't do that?
Oh, yeah.
Is it going to be almost like a 2 ton per acre loss over 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is? That would be the question.
This
to know how much you should, that it's that important to put that on.
Scott?
It kind of goes back to the soil sample, what's in the soil again, but also there's kind of a threshold that it may happen, but there's a threshold before you notice when the deficiency starts to take. Half the time, by the time you notice it, you're behind the curve.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like watching your cows get dead and you realize you're not getting as many calves, you know.
Management's really an interesting thing. So, and really that's what we're here to talk about. Managing is lots of different things. And when we talk about alfalfa, a part of management being fertilizer, fertilizer's interesting because there's a lot of people that just say, I'm not going to spend that money. I'm good with what I have. But fertilizer can do lots of stuff for you. Weeds, persistence. Maybe we move from rotating every 6 years to every 7 years, and all of a sudden, boy, there's a lot of money being made there that's not necessarily taken into just $180 a ton.
Do you recommend doing the soil test every year then?
Well, you know, with phosphorus, we're not putting it on every year, right? We're putting on enough for 3 or 4 years. Phosphorus doesn't move in our soil too. So phosphorus is really good to stay there.
And your soil test will tell you how.
Yes. So with it depends on. The answer is it depends. My economist buddies will tell me it depends. But if we're only worried about phosphorus, no, we won't do a soil test every year. But it is nice to kind of track it. You know, how much phosphorus am I using every year? So you wouldn't necessarily have to do a soil test every year, but if you're doing a soil test every year, you could really manage and watch what's happening with lots of things. Your pH isn't going to change a lot, but your organic matter, what nitrogen is doing in your soil, what phosphorus is doing. And, you know, nitrogen isn't extra important with alfalfa, but you can still watch what it's kind of doing. So, great question.
Do you have a formula for watching it over 3 or 4 years like a lot of us do and knowing when you did it the cheapest?
Well, that's what a lot of guys do. I mean, you can put phosphorus on for 4 or 5 years. So they'll watch price and they'll put it on when price comes down. So, yeah. So yeah, if there isn't any more questions, I'm almost done. I'm glad there wasn't any clapping there at that. But so if we look at the 2013 numbers, you know, if we take those numbers at the 165 pounds over a 5-year average, we needed to produce 0.74 tons per acre when we looked at it over a 5-year average. At the 100 pounds, we're looking at almost a half a ton. So the 2014 numbers are looking like a pretty good year to put phosphorus on, right? Because our break even was a quarter of a ton less. So the numbers right now that Brian's running, 2014 is a good year. If we look at potassium, and so we look at 2014 numbers here, if we're putting 300 pounds on, 200 pounds on, you know, we're looking at what it's going to cost us per acre. So if we extrapolate that out, we go to needing to produce more than 3/4 of a ton per acre, half ton per acre at 200 pounds per the acre. So, you know, my point here isn't necessarily, you know, to really look at these numbers hard, but those are the things that you're really needing to look at. So what does my soil tell me? You know, what's in my soil? You know, what are my soil needs? And then if I put it on, what are my production numbers that I need to look at? And as a manager, you know, we start looking at this, we get a good soil test and we know that we're potassium deficient, but it might only make sense to us to bump up to this bottom number, you know, at 50 pounds per the acre, because, you know, we just really can't expect where we live or where what we have or with our irrigation things, we just really can't expect to be getting more than 3/4 of a ton per acre. But we could really do this, you know. So that's all about management. Any other questions with that? I think I'm, well, if we look at the 5-year average, you know, we bump it clear up to a ton there. So I'll get back to this last slide and I'll finish with it. How are you going to make decisions when we're talking about fertilizer? Soil sample, soil sample, soil sample. It's really nice to know what's in your soil, because if you know that, we know what the needs of alfalfa are, don't we? And we can really look at that. Where's your stand and the quality of your field? What is there any special yearly situations that you have? And what are your expectations? So, yeah, is there any questions about those numbers? We can talk about them later. But those are the things you're really looking at when we're talking about fertilizing alfalfa. Questions? Ready for lunch? I'll be around all day. We can visit about it. Thank you.